For those of you watching live, that was a test and you passed it. Thank you. We just wanted to see how long will people wait. No, we had tech problems, obviously, but thank you for being here, everybody. It's a new week, a disastrous week, but we're here. We got the whole team. I'm still John, and it is going to be fantastic. You thought I was faking it in the fake intro. She's actually here for Jessica Fiorentini. How's it going?
Hi, John. I hope that I can be
looking
heard.
At the chat.
Hope it's all good.
I'm looking to make sure. Anyway, so we're not going to go super in depth about what's happening. It's some sort of weird thing with Skype and our software that I guess doesn't affect enough people for Skype to acknowledge, and there's no way of knowing if it's going to happen. It's great.
Everyone needs to at Skype right now. That's how we will solve it together, Dragon Squad.
Totally. Totally. And also the exact same thing happened to Cuomo last Friday. So it happens. Like it happens. But anyway, we're very glad to have you here. You've been gone for a long time. Yes. I assume gallivanting across the world. I don't know. What were you
up to? I've been spreading the good gospel of the Dragon Squad and the Bituation Room and the Twituation Room, which is my new Twitch show on Wednesdays, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. You guys got to get up on that on TYT's Twitch channel. So.
Awesome. That's gonna be a lot of fun. And you come back upgraded with cool, changey lights. That's how you know she does a Twitch show. She has colored LEDs in the background.
I don't play games, but I got the lights. Love exactly. me.
We're gonna get you on a game. Okay, everybody, we got a lot. You've heard me say it a billion times. Why don't we just launch into the story? Why don't we do that? The first story.
Just finished with our meetings here at the White House this afternoon. We had a great planning session for our January 6th objection. We aren't going to let this election be stolen by Joe Biden and the Democrats. President Trump won by a landslide.
Reporting from Crazy Town. Now that's Marjorie Greene, and that was filmed back in December. She released it, reassuring their base. Remember, they had that hardcore grift, keep giving us money, just give us tons of money. We're totally gonna make it to the Trump's president. Didn't work out. But anyway, she's talking there about meetings, and it turns out there apparently were a bunch of meetings with people like Marjorie Greene, as well as many others. Hunter Walker at Rolling Stone has three sources who say that various people who were involved in doing the protests on January 6th had contact with representatives, with their crews, with their staffs, and with the White House as well. So two of the sources say they participated in literally dozens of planning briefings ahead of January 6th. One says, I remember Marjorie Taylor Greene specifically. I remember talking to probably close to a dozen other members at one point or another of their staffs. It would be hard to forget Marjorie Greene because he actually at one point barricaded himself in a room and she was talking through the keyhole. You don't really forget that sort of thing. But anyway, along with Greene, you have Representative Paul Gosar, Lauren Boebert, Mo Brooks, Madison Cawthorn, Andy Biggs, and Louis Gohmert. Basically, if I asked you to put together the list of the representatives who had been involved with these crazies, you already know who it is. It's the crazies themselves. And so we have some information about how that went, and there is some pretty spicy and juicy stuff in here, but I do want to offer up a couple of caveats because we feel the need to do that. We feel the need to be responsible and ethical and all that, even though we're never giving any credit for it. So one is that there are three distinct sources who've spoken to Rolling Stone about this and say that they are talking with the January 6th commission. That said, you never know with these stories until you have layers upon layers of confirmation of the specific claims being made. And bear in mind, these sources are people who were organizing protests in support of Donald Trump in January of this year. So bear all of that in mind as we go forward. But that said, before we launch into more of the details, Francesca, what do you think of this so far? What were you thinking when this was rolling out last night?
That yes, that of course this happened, right? We knew it happened. I mean, they even quote one of the Stop the Steal planners, Ali Alexander, who's like, again, one of these sort of like C-list Trump MAGA celebrities, who was like, yeah, me and Mo Brooks, me and Andy Biggs, me and Paul Gosar. And he's like going live on Instagram. Like, we knew all of these things. So I'm glad now that we've got the actual insurrectionists, who I assume are the sources, coming out being like, yeah, man, we talked to all of these Congress people. And I'm eager to hear exactly what went down in those meetings.
Yeah, exactly. We only have a little bit of that, but I want to throw one extra caveat, and that is that with one or two major exceptions, which we'll get to, what is being alleged so far does not rise to the level of Marjorie Greene handed me a bunch of javelins and said, go get Pence. Like, it's not that. They say that the demonstrations they worked on were the ones at and around what's called the Ellipse. So that's where Trump actually spoke. Bear in mind, he told them to go to the Capitol and then they did it, but somehow he's not involved. So they said they were gonna present evidence about issues with the election. Everybody forgot to do that, I guess. But they do say it was intended to put pressure on those who were gonna object to the certification. The Capitol itself was never in play. So they are saying, we weren't planning for the riot. We were planning for all these protests that then the riot sprang forth from. So none of this, as far as I've seen, directly says that Boebert or Gosar or anyone was like, I need you to start killing people and burning down the Capitol. I just want to put that out there again, caveats that would never ever be given credit for. But that said, there are a couple of issues with this that sort of imply that like, maybe it didn't have to go the way it did. So one is that in addition to the what they call sort of the Ellipse protest, there was the Wild protest, which was Alexander, who you were just talking about. Mm-hmm. So two of the sources who spoke with Rolling Stone say that there were early concerns about Alexander's event. They had seen him with members of the paramilitary group's First Amendment Praetorian and the Oath Keepers in his entourage at prior pro-Trump rallies. Two sources also claimed to have been concerned about drawing people to the area directly adjacent to the Capitol on the 6th, given the anger among Trump supporters about the election certification that was underway that day. One of the sources said they knew that they weren't there to sing kumbaya and like put up a peace sign. These frickin' people were angry. And interestingly, they apparently went to Mark Meadows with those concerns ahead of the 6th, saying, this guy Alexander has paramilitary people, they're gonna be right at the Capitol. And Mark Meadows in the White House just apparently didn't care or didn't do anything about it or understood that that was the idea. So that's the first of the two things that are, well, is this actually, this might be something.
No. Everyone knew there was a possibility of violence, right? And even the speakers at the rally, like Representative Mo Brooks, was like, we're gonna go, we're gonna march in there and start taking down names and kicking ass. That's literally what he said at the rally, right? And so suddenly, you know, people are acting surprised that, oh, the plan wasn't actually to storm the Capitol. What do you mean? You're calling it a wild march? That's the name of the protest. So you basically are like, I don't know, you know, we're gonna have some flex cuffs, we're gonna have some tasers, we're gonna have, you know, yeah, some people dressed in medieval gear, but we don't advocate violence. That is utter BS, right? It's a little bit of a like, we're gonna set this up for some of the more radical extremist elements to do their thing. But of course, they're never gonna sign their names on a, hey, the plan is to scale the wall like the zombies in World War Z.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like when I, you know, let's say that my wife is out of town and I go shopping for food and I bring back the food that I bring. That doesn't mean that I'm gonna eat like 5,000 calories that day, but it's certainly created the environment where it's likely that that sort of thing will happen. And I feel like that's what's going on here. But there's actually a couple more things that raise it to spicy levels. So one is, I wanna show you another video. I apologize, I'm making you look at Marjorie Greene quite a bit today, but here is another video that she put out in advance of the 6th.
We can't allow this just to be gone, you know, just to let it go. You can't allow it to just transfer power peacefully like Joe Biden wants and allow him to become our president because he did not win this election. It's being stolen.
Okay, now while acknowledging that we cannot expect the same level of control over what she says out of Marjorie Greene, out of, you know, like a native speaker of English, it's kind of like when I used to wander around the streets of Cairo speaking Arabic. Like I kind of knew what I was saying, that's her with all words. But she does say there, we cannot do a peaceful transfer of power. Okay, I mean, in the first video, she's just like, we're gonna have our voices be heard, call your representatives. Now she's saying it can't be peaceful. So bear that in mind. But here is the spiciest nugget, I think. And that is an allegation that is being made against Paul Gosar. Ugh. So Gosar allegedly took things a step further. Both sources say he dangled the possibility of a quote blanket pardon in an unrelated ongoing investigation to encourage them to plan the protests. Gosar said, I was just going over the list of pardons. And we just wanted to tell you guys how much we appreciate all the hard work you've been doing. One of them, the organizer, said, our impression was that it was a done deal, that he'd spoken to the president about it in the Oval in a meeting about pardons that our names came up. They were working on submitting the paperwork and getting members of the House Freedom Caucus to sign on as a show of support.
Yep.
So here's the thing about that. Nothing that we've said so far specifically in this about the representatives meeting with these people to plan the Ellipse protest or anything like that is illegal. So then why are they talking about blanket pardons? You do not need pardons for attending a peaceful protest. You don't need pardons for airing grievances or seeing the evidence or pressuring representatives. None of that requires a pardon because none of that is actually illegal. You need assurances of blanket pardons if you have an idea that people are going to be doing illegal things. And if Trump actually, we don't know that Trump was actually involved in this. Gosar, first of all, they could be lying about Gosar. Gosar could be lying about the White House. A million caveats on top of a million caveats. But this definitely sounds like they knew illegal stuff was going to be happening and they wanted the people in the streets to know they'd be protected. You do that so that people will be freed up to do what they actually want to do, which is apparently illegal stuff.
No, and you know, here's the thing. It's I hate to draw, you know, sort of a through line to some of the Russia stuff, some of the Ukraine stuff, but it's similar, right? In terms of you don't have to have it all spelled out to know where we're all going, what we're all doing, where we're headed, right? So there was a coordination going on here, right? There is a reason that Capitol Police were not staffed the way they needed to be. There was a reason that the National Guard wasn't there. There was a reason there wasn't the security, even though they knew the Stop the Steal rally was going on, right? So there's that. You know, you don't have to have a handshake to know that everyone is in lockstep with this plan. And secondly, the Arizona Republican Party, which again, Gosar and Andy Biggs, another character here in this sort of dream team, if the dream is a white ethno state. So that's Andy Biggs and Paul Gosar. The Republican Arizona's party tweeted Ali Alexander days before and was like, he's ready to give his life. Are you? Question mark. That's the official GOP of the Arizona state. Like, what are we doing here, people? This is was all set up for violence. They knew what it was going to lead to.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And they apparently, these three sources that have been speaking with Rolling Stone have been talking with the commission informally. They say they expect to testify. I mean, God only knows. We don't know what's going to end up happening with that commission. We do know that the Republicans really, really, really didn't want the commission to exist. A commission that can investigate these sorts of claims and can look into the actual documented communications between these organizers and the staff and individual representatives. It possible that if they do actually get the documents out of the White House, was Gosar, you know, emailing Mark Meadows or Donald Trump? What was Meadows saying internally that might be documented? Maybe nothing, or maybe they got rid of it. We don't know for sure. I do know that some people are taking it seriously. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeted last night, any member of Congress who helped plot a terrorist attack on our nation's capital must be expelled. This was a terror attack. 138 injured, almost 10 dead. Those responsible remain a danger to our democracy, our country, and human life in the vicinity of our capital and beyond. And again, I will say, outside of the spicy bits that I mentioned, the core claims of this do not necessarily say that Madison Cawthorn was trying to get them to hang Mike Pence. Like it does, to me, it doesn't directly rise to that level. But you'll notice that in the past 9 months, none of these people have come out and been like, oh yeah, no, I was totally involved in all that organization, which is fine because nothing bad happened with those protests. They've all been hiding it. They've all pretended that they weren't involved in this. And so none of this is proof necessarily of anything, but none of it looks good either.
No, and again, back, it reminds me of the Russia stuff, but here's what I'll say. Like, there are insurrectionists in Congress. We've known this. Now we have even more proof of that. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is saying it. And Cori Bush, Representative Cori Bush, has introduced a piece of legislation after January 6th to expel those members specifically under Section 3 of Article 14 of the Constitution, which straight up says that you cannot aid, abet, or give comfort to any insurrectionist. And I'm pretty sure that all of those lawmakers gave a whole lot of comfort to the people who planned the Stop the Steal rally and who then stormed the Capitol. It doesn't matter if that's not what some of them wanted. How many times have we been like, you know, how many times is like, well, that wasn't, like, I didn't mean to kill that person, so therefore I can't be, you know, an accessory to murder. No, man, you were there. You're an accessory to murder. That's what you're an accessory to insurrection. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, for Trump, too. I mean, like, he literally said, you're very special. I love you. That's comforting. That's nicer than most of the things that have been said to me in my life. Anyway, and again, I want to add one more thing that doesn't necessarily prove anything, but, you know, Marjorie Greene, there's a news cycle last night of, hey, you and a bunch of these other people were coordinating with them. It looks really bad. And a representative, AOC, says, if you were helping to plot this, you need to be expelled. Okay, so all that's out there. So how do you respond to it? Well, she tweeted at AOC, and I want you to evaluate whether, bearing in mind that her comms director says she wasn't involved in anything. This is what the actual congresswoman says. She says, again, I challenge you to debate me. You have a big problem understanding our laws because you want to tear our country apart because you are a communist. You are actually guilty of much worse. You and many Democrats funded, encouraged, and participated in civil war. And then it continued, and it did continue. It's a lot of tweets and I ain't reading them. But those tweets aren't about what happened. They're about inflation or whatever that AOC is a communist about. That's your response to multiple organizers of the protest saying that you and your staff had been directly involved, potentially with dozens of meetings. You guys did worse. That's what you say. That's admitting it basically at this point. That's not a strong defense.
I mean, we all remember what happened on January 6th, okay? Thousands of Trump supporters went to the steps of the Capitol building and screamed, debate me. And that's it. It was peaceful. And any other violence, that was all Antifa. They were just, all they wanted was an honest debate. Where sit there and, you know, change my mind. They were at a table that said, change my mind. That was it. I saw nothing else.
Okay, we're going to roll right through into one or two more quick stories. I do want to let you know that in a little bit, I'm going to be showing you some of the things awesome members of the community have sent in recently. We got a haul from our mail, so can't wait to do that. But let's jump into this video.
Maybe there's a call for a protocol much like the one that Fox has, where you sort of share your vaccine status. If you choose not to get vaccinated, you get regular testing so that you are not a threat to spread this to the workforce. It still happens, cases seep through. I'm a good example of that. Yeah. The immunocompromised are in their own sort of little neck of the woods here. But I cannot stress this enough. This is not about left or right. This is not about who's conservative or liberal. Last time I checked, everyone, regardless of their political persuasion, is coming down with this. Cases are stabilizing, but we're still losing 3,000 people a day. We've lost 5 million globally to this. We've lost nearly 800,000 in the US. Take the political speaking points and toss them. For now, I'm begging you, toss them and think of what's good, not only for yourself, but for those around you. If you don't want to do it for yourself, if you think it's a pain in the ass, I get that. Right. But think of others around you. I dare say people who experience this or seen loved ones who've been affected by this or have ever died from this are not judging the wisdom of mandates. They're wishing they got vaccinated.
That was Neil Cavuto there. I think he was a little bit off of the end. I think plenty of Republicans have watched family members die and still are not taking this seriously. It boggles the mind, but I think it's true. But there he is saying the right thing. And by right thing, I mean the only rational thing, the lowest possible bar. This is a deadly disease that's killing tons of people. Stop being political about it. Just get the vaccine. And he has done that. He got sick anyway. He is immunocompromised. He has multiple sclerosis. He had open heart surgery. So he had other risk factors that apparently opened him up to getting infected. But He is trying to get through to Fox, but Francesca, I think we have a pretty good idea of the likelihood of widespread success in that effort.
I mean, it's a done deal. Unless you are reining in Carlson and Ingram and Hannity, they're doing it for the clicks and the eyeballs. You have to be an anti-vaxxer to be relevant on the right now. And you have to want the death of your own base if you want to stay relevant. Again, it never made sense to me, but it is nice to hear somebody. Again, like we just do a story about, you know, about the insurrectionists and how there was back channels into Congress, and yet we're not even saying that it definitely happened between Congress and we give so much intellectual honesty to stories that we cover, and you rarely hear that from the right. So it is refreshing to have Neil Cavuto at least be like, "Yo, please do not, essentially don't listen to any of my co-hosts."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's gonna try, but we know how this is gonna work. Like, I don't even know how into Cavuto the base was anyway, but he's gonna be written off entirely by them. As you said, you have to.
He just needs to zhuzh it up, you know.
You have to be anti-vax, or you have to at least pretend you're not vaccinated, never confirm or deny. You know, it's private or whatever. And you have to play into what the anti-vaxxers want. Like, you have to just never, it's not that you're saying the vaccine will kill you, it's full of squids, which some people are saying. They're saying you will get octopuses in your body if you get the vaccine. But you have to constantly do stories about how it's scary and suspicious and who knows what's happening and maybe there's side effects and I don't know, it's scary and maybe they're making money off of it. You just say this stuff all day long. And it's not just Fox hosts, by the way. Take a look on YouTube. There's some people who are trying to make a lot of money, get a lot of views off of this, because the right wingers will watch this stuff. They're terrified. They want to keep being terrified. They need content to sustain that. And so that's what they're doing. And we have gone out of our way over the past year to give credit to anyone on Fox who encourages people to get vaccinated. Ducey slightly at one point, Sean Hannity very briefly, and then he realized that that was going to be the end of his career. So he backed off.
Yeah.
And now Neil Cavuto. Unfortunately, it is going up against all of the rest of their programming. So I want you to take a look at something else that happened on Fox last night.
So I'm not vaccinated. And before I wasn't getting vaccinated because I, as a 36-year-old woman with no underlying conditions, have a 99.97% chance of survival against COVID. So I was on the fence because it didn't make sense to get vaccinated for a virus that is not a threat to my life, nor one that I fear. But now I'm doubling down as a giant middle finger to Joe Biden's tyranny, because now it's a fight for freedom. Now it's a fight against tyranny in America. And that's what this is all about. We are literally fighting right now, Dan, for the future of this country. Are we gonna be a free America or not? And that's ultimately what this all comes down to. And I know you believe it. I've seen you, you've taken a strong stance on vaccine mandates, which encourages people like me as well. But this is such a fight, Dan, and you know it.
Okay, so really fast, let's just say the strong stance he's taken on vaccine mandates is that he's willing to leave Cumulus, the radio job, where he almost certainly makes far less money than on Fox News. Fox News has a mandate that is harsher than Biden's. We've said that a million times, we'll continue to. Dan Bongino does not want to actually engage with that because he wants that sweet, sweet Fox money. He ain't leaving Fox News over the vaccine mandate. She's saying this is a fight for the future of the company. This is Biden's tyranny. Well, Fox is, as we've said, 5 times more tyrannical than Joe Biden because they want you to get tested every single day. And Dan Bongino, who is notably very quiet during that clip for a guy with the chemicals raging through his veins that he has, he kept it together very well, maybe because he doesn't want to actually point out, like, I'm not leaving, I'm not quitting, this money's really good and I want people to see me. So Fox News's tyranny is great, Biden's is bad, purely for political reasons. That's all it is.
Yeah, first I was selfish just cause, you know, I am a black-hearted B word. And then it became political and I was like, you know what? F the entire community, you can all choke and die. Also, my family can die and my Nana. Nana, honestly, 20 bucks at Christmas, do better. Like that mentality right there is the most anti-family, just like almost unpatriotic attitude to possibly have, right? Yeah. And I am the last person to be for, you know, some sort of like bleeding heart patriotism, but any kind of semblance of a nation that we've completely lost, the social fabric unraveling, thanks to just self-absorbed people like that. Like, I'm just like, how do you get away with saying that? You know, this is the same, these are the same folks who, if there is a drumbeat for war, once again, you know, if coronavirus were Muslim or a country, we would have invaded and bombed by now, and we would have all pulled together and got vaccinated, you know, because jihad or whatever. But it's like, they pull together for any kind of militarism. Oh, it's your duty, do your duty, serve your country, serve your country, serve your country, except for this.
Yeah.
Except for when it comes to actually something you could do. Because they wouldn't go to war either, let's be real.
Yeah, most of them wouldn't. I mean, my slight counterpoint would be that they have pulled together. They've pulled together against a threat. It's just not the public health threat. It is the political threat. She said, I mean, she was, I don't know, maybe she's new to this. I honestly don't know. But she laid it out really blatant. This has become a war. This is now a fight for liberty, a fight for the future of our country. Fox, we here at Fox desperately want this to be a constant fight about vague stuff, not specific. Don't talk to me about whether we're going to expand Medicare to include vision and dental, because we know people are popular and we don't want that. So we don't want to have those debates. We'd love to make the next 4 years a constant fight, a war on, well, you can watch the video on the recount, literally everything. It's a war on hot dogs. It's a war on flags. It's a war on kids sport. It's a war on literally everything at all times. Like with Littlefinger, fight every war simultaneously here at Fox News so that we can keep you really worked up about vague stuff that, like, the stakes don't have anything to do with your life and we don't have to deliver. And certainly the politicians don't have to deliver. That's the way we like it. And that's what this has become. They could have come together to fight the virus. They've got their own war, and their war is what's going to sustain Fox News viewership. What is going to keep the base fired up for the midterm elections and eventually Republicans to run in 2024? And it's something, something vague, something, something liberty.
Yeah, and also just on the point of, I'm a healthy 36-year-old who doesn't have underlying conditions. Plenty of people younger than 36 with no underlying conditions have died from COVID. And especially the Delta variant. So go home with your, I eat a smoothie every day and I do CrossFit and whatever. It doesn't matter. None of your crystals that you clutch, none of your smoothie work, none of your Goop Gwyneth Paltrow BS, none of your Joe Rogan, you know, vegan lifestyle, whatever it is you think is gonna save you from this. We have examples of people who have died, who followed all those things, who've done all their sort of cocktails of ivermectin, et cetera, and they've died. So yeah, you're at risk still. And again, what a selfish world, what a selfish country we live in. My God, to think that you, well, I'm not gonna die. I'm just gonna stand on a pile of bones, but I'll be okay.
Exactly, like the Terminator. I just wanna play one more graphic because you know, most of the people that we've given credit for at Fox for pushing for vaccination have turned on that. I don't think that Ducey has. He's been like the most consistent. Maybe Cavuto will be now, but obviously Sean Hannity turned very fast. And we have another example of that. So Harris Faulkner had participated, as had Steve Ducey, in a little ad that they would play between shows at Fox, encouraging people to get vaccinated. Justin Barragona has a tweet from her show today. This is the Faulkner focus, and their little background graphic is, get the vax or get the axe. Yeah, it's a better grift. It's a better grift. Telling people not to die and not to kill other people. Come on, it's boring. We need to be exciting. Lift up the patriots, and that's what she's doing. Anyway, okay, we have some time. Let's keep going. We're gonna see how much we can catch up. We're gonna see if we can get to that D block. Kyrie Irving made news recently for choosing to no longer, at least for the time being, play basketball because he didn't want to comply with the vaccine mandate that they had. And a rally in support of him developed recently. We've got some video for you. So that is exactly what you think it is. It's a bunch of people who, whether they've taken the vaccine or not, we don't know. I can guess they're holding up signs to say things like no vaccine mandate, let Kyrie play, stand with Kyrie. They want him to be able to play. They don't want him to have to comply with the rules that everyone else does. They just want to see him play. I get it. I get it. I don't think that you need to do that necessarily. He's a grown man. He can make his decisions. He's made his decision, but I guess they can organize around that. I just like it got pretty vigorous. And there's been a lot of encouragement, Francesca, Fox News and others implying that these anti-vaccine, anti-mandate protests are the most patriotic thing. Like literally before we went live, Tommy Lauren was on Fox News saying that it's the most patriotic thing I've seen in my entire life.
Wow.
These people fighting against the mandate. So what if it's the most patriotic thing, what do you do? Do you just hold your sign and nothing happens and you're just cool with that? Because you know that's America. You can try and maybe sometimes you fail. Or do you get a little bit rowdy, perhaps? Do you cause a building to be locked down?
I couldn't help but notice that they were majority black protesters. So it's very ironic that Fox News and Tommy Lahren are supporting black protesters pushing police barricades and pushing violently into buildings. Because usually when they don't even do that much, but they are black and they're fighting for civil rights. They're thugs. They're complete criminals. Yeah, and they deserve all the pepper spray and brutality that the police rained down on them. It does remind me of a similar protest that happened when Nicki Minaj's cousin's balls friends, I don't know if it was a testicles friend or the friend's testicle, I'm not sure. If testicles have friends, I don't have any, so but anyway. The point is that it had a similar flair. So I think there might be a little bit more of a nefarious group underlying some of these protests. I need to know more about what happened, but I know there was a protest outside the CDC around Nicki Minaj's whole incident that was again uplifted by Tucker Carlson.
Totally.
But it's upsetting, right? Because, you know, it is absolutely an issue that is striking a lot of anti-establishment chords, right? And I think progressives and leftists are the first folks who are like, yeah, I'm anti-establishment. I don't believe in like, you know, CIA foreign wars, FBI COINTELPRO. We've got many reasons, corporate money and in politics, all the reasons to be anti-establishment. But anti-establishment without actual justice politics is just being against any kind of thing that whiffs of authority for the sake of it, right? Being against Dr. Fauci because he's got a PhD, like straight up, like I'm against instruction manuals in like that come along with IKEA furniture, cause don't you tell me what to do, Fagellan. You know, like that's like it is a little bit ridiculous that, but that is the chord that it's striking. And that is where you're seeing the far left and the far right or the supposed left come together around an anti-vax stance. And you know, Kyrie Irving has tried to not make this a big deal. I don't know how you do that. And I feel like kudos to the Nets for being like, look, you're not gonna be playing with us. He really has. He's tried to be more nuanced. I think he's tried to sort of calm down both sides on this, but clearly he's not doing a good enough job. And he's got to tell people and his followers to chill the F out.
Yeah, again, it's like a lot of these movements, like some of these people maybe have held these positions for a long time, but a lot of it is just, it's a convenient short-term political thing from the right-wing media and right-wing politicians. So again, how do you get back into power? Well, there's a few different ways you can do that. You can try to become more popular. You can try to reassure people that you're gonna be addressing their actual concerns, improving the material quality of their life. That's difficult. You'd have to actually deliver on that potentially. They don't wanna do that. That's not their path. Their path is getting people angry at the authoritarians. But again, it's not an anti-authoritarian thing. They want Trump in office for the rest of his life. They're not against authoritarianism. This is not anti-establishment, truly. They're gonna put the Republican establishment back into power with Trump as its head. This is an anti-society movement. That's all it is. There are some people who want us to have a society and they're against that, okay? Like we protest the establishment because they're stopping us from having a society that actually values everyone, that cares about the quality of their life. We wanna replace it with one that makes our society stronger, more equitable. They are just against that. They're against any obligation, anything that would improve someone else's life. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're seeing here. Again, you can protest if you want to. And by the way, let me say one, what would be a nice side effect of this is, oh, so Fox News, you can cover protests that are about working conditions. As long as the working condition is whether you have to have a vaccine or not.
Yes.
In that very limited area, you care about the quality of life and respect for workers. What about their pay? What about their health insurance? Yes. What about their working hours? What about the risk that they undertake when they're on the job? What about discrimination in hiring or advancement? What about all of these things? Are those potentially also working conditions that you can care about? Because I guarantee if those same protesters put down their Kyrie Irving signs and picked up minimum wage signs or overtime compensation signs, those cameras would turn off real goddamn fast.
100%.
Yeah.
Great point.
Thank you. You know, we've just finished effectively our first hour. We're not taking any actual breaks, but there is one thing that I want to do just briefly, and then I'm going to read a few comments because you guys have been super supportive of us in dealing with the tech problems we had. So I don't want to, you know, ignore that stuff. But first, every once in a while, we get a delivery from our mail drop off point. I don't have access to it, but Dave Kohler brought some stuff. And as has so often been the case, some members of the community have sent some really awesome stuff. And so I want to thank them. So first of all, I just want to make sure that I pronounce all of your names correctly. So Keith sent this, which he 3D printed. It's I think it's like a pencil and pen stand, but it's designed to look like something out of Warhammer 40K. That's going to go on my desk. Thank you so much for that.
That very looks like nice a garbage can.
It is basically, it's like a little, it's like a mini trashy basically.
That's great.
But I love it. Thank you for that. It's big too. I don't know if that's really translating, but it's a nice weighty thing. So thank you for that. John Doe, it was the only name that was on it, sent me a Hawaiian shirt. He had previously sent a Hawaiian shirt with dragons on it. I've never seen a Hawaiian shirt with dragons. So John Doe, thank you for that. Very nice of you.
Nice.
Okay, and then there were two other things as well. So Blue Lizard Guts. So there's a message on it saying to the people who screen these packages, please film John's response. Well, in this case, I screened the package, so you can't see my response, but I will say I was literally laughing out loud. So I open the box and I can see that it's an oversized Funko box of some kind. And I can't really tell what it is. I see that it's a dragon. I was like, oh, that's so cool. They sent in like a dragon Funko, you know, because of like Dragon Squad. And then I saw the word daddy on the side and I was like, hold up a second.
Oh no.
Ain't no Funko got daddy on the side. What has happened? And so I open it and it is a handcrafted daddy of dragons.
Holy
Funko on God. A dragon. And it's like he did the box, so it's got like the damage report. It's got the other people you can get, including you can see a whole bunch of people on the shows. Brett and Dr. Rashad Ritchie has a drawing of them. He did the art of me with the glasses.
Wait,
and everything.
Am I on the drawings? Because otherwise I hate it.
You've been gone for a few. Oh, so this is you. If this had come out like a week later. Oh, sorry, Blue Lizard Guts. Blue Lizard Guts is a she. Apologies. I think I said he. My apologies. This is the Twitch edition. And the Twitchmation room didn't exist at that point. So sorry.
That is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
It is so cool and so thoughtful. The art's on the front too, and it's got the damage report and daddy of dragons. It's so nice. I'm definitely gonna add that to the set. Blue Lizard Guts, thank you so much. It's so incredibly nice. And I literally laughed out loud. It was first thing in the morning. I walk in, it's raining, I'm tired, the caffeine hasn't kicked in, and I open up this thing and I was literally laughing like a maniac in the middle of an empty studio. So thank you so much for that. And then there is one more.
That's
so a while back, Altec Phoenix sent in this awesome Wormwood dice tray. If you don't know Wormwood, they make accessories for people who play like tabletop games, like D&D. And it's just like they're like luxury wooden objects. It's so nice and it's got magnets and everything. So I got from Kide, who I hope is in the audience. I didn't see messages from Kide, but I really hope. Two other Wormwood products. So there's this awesome like purple wood infused dice like holder that's magnetized. It's so beautiful and so smooth. And then there is this, I believe this is for dice rolling. Not 100% sure, but that's probably what I'm gonna use it for. And again, it's multiple types of wood. Thank you so much. Incredibly nice. I'm gonna get a lot of use out of this for board games and things like that. So thank you, Kide, as well. Very, very nice of you. I'm definitely gonna have to put a pic of of some of these up on the Instagram. Blue Lizard Gut says, I paint and sculpt Funkos on my live stream if anyone wants to watch it. I wanna see that. That's I didn't even amazing. Know that was a thing that people did. But everybody, so thank you so much, Keith and John Doe and Kide and Blue Lizard Guts. So nice to come in. Basically, it's like Christmas when I walk in when there's stuff like that. So thank you very much. Okay, we've got a lot that we're gonna get to, but first I do want to acknowledge some stuff going on in the audience. Ashley Turner became a tier one member. Thank you so much for that. Kayla has been a tier one member for 4 months. Says Halloween molasses toffees are the worst. I don't know off the top of my head what those are like, but that sounds good to me.
Yeah, that does kind of sound good.
It does. Okay, let's see. Vicky Gray sent in a big super chat saying, a fantastic Monday. Missed you, Francesca. Awesome way to start the week. Much love to you all. Thank you.
I missed you. I was going through withdrawals. It was pretty sad. I was like, I need this.
Anyway. I know. We were like getting in a groove. We had a bunch of guest hosts and stuff.
Boo.
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 Thank you for that, Vicky. Gail Hefner says candy corn is the devil. I don't understand the candy corn hate. I really don't.
We're gonna talk about it in our bonus, yeah, right?
We will. Well, actually, why don't I let people know? So we're gonna do a top 10 list as we always do on Mondays for tier 2 and tier 3 members on YouTube. We had suggested to Francesca top 10 best Halloween candies, and Francesca was in a mood, so she said, "How about the worst?" And so we are gonna be doing the worst.
That's gonna be awesome. I am a glass half empty kind of girl.
Let's see. Global Astro says, John, I literally just started Dune after waiting 25 minutes. Sorry to interrupt your Dune watching. Let's see. Trista says, I'm in love with Francesca as a political commentator. She's been getting better and better, and now her voice is imperative if you're interested in left politics.
Ooh. That's awesome. Thank you.
Laura says, thank you, Franny, for reminding us how horrible that day was. We can't let these idiots continue to play the victim. Ah, so frustrating. It does.
Yeah.
Kide was watching, sent it a super chat, says, well, I guess the joke on the one word engraving will be pretty on point today. The snowflake is a signature as my name is Finnish for crystal. I did not know that. So I actually learned something additionally. Thank you. It is so incredibly thoughtful. I believe you had sent a message a little bit ago about whether it had arrived, and thankfully it did, because it's. Also, by the way, I make stuff out of wood. And when I see something like this, I think, God damn, I'm terrible at this.
I want you to do the damage report long enough so that they make you wooden teeth.
Wormwood teeth?
Different kinds of wood.
I could see
wood.
That at some point.
I mean, like, you can just flatter around. Anyway.
Oh, I didn't read. I apologize. Kide reminded me. I didn't read the engraving. So it says, we're running out of time. I'm going to use dimension door to skip the D block of this dungeon. That was one of the things that made me laugh earlier. Thank you. It's a D&D spell, if you don't know. But thank you for that. I think we will actually get to the D block. We're going to be doing that in just a minute. But first, on Twitch, Pickle Hippie hit 14 months. Thank you for that. Big Bull Dragon hit 14 months as well. Damn. Francis the Rogue hit 18 months. Who's gonna hit 21st? I can't wait to find out, but that's awesome, Francis the Rogue. Ray of Sunshine hit 2, says huzzah, thank you. Dragonpool 420 hit 5 months, says Fran. Oh, I see. Okay, Fran, John threatened to change Mondays to Viviana Mondays. I'm snitching. I did not do that. I might have jokingly said that. I might have like written out like a brief, like short paper working out exactly what we would do, how we'd focus on it. Like one page max though. I mean, is that really like threatening?
Oh my God. You had a draft email ready to go?
No, I did not. I'm kidding. Why would you do that?
No.
Miss Fresco.
Yay, Viviana. I'm glad she filled in.
She was fun. Yeah, she did 2 days and Sabrina filled in for the third while you were gone.
Yeah.
Ray of Sunshine gifted 5 subs. Damn. The Evil Wolf gifted 10. Leftover Zach hits 14 months. Says going for a management position at the company I work for. Wish me luck, dragons. Good luck. Good luck to you. Okay, we have others. I will get to those in just a little bit, but we're gonna jump back into the news because I assume my producers are probably losing it. So let's move into this. little update on the infrastructure negotiations just for fun. You know, I love it. So it's not been going well recently. If you believe that this bill should deliver to the American people on you know, the actual problems that they have and the promises that Biden made. Democrats are haggling now over whether to drop two of the most popular elements of their bill. According to a half dozen sources, I'll consider that confirmed. One is a plan to expand Medicare with dental, vision, and hearing benefits for tens of millions of seniors, as well as a pitch to guarantee paid family and medical leave to all US workers now in danger of getting cut from the bill entirely. So why? We just said it's like the most popular part. You ran on those things. Why would you cut it? Well, paid leave and Medicare expansion may not fit in a package that conforms to Joe Manchin's preferred price tag. But I have a follow-up question. Which preferred price tag? When exactly did he cite the price tag? Because, you know, we've shown you this before. At one point, he was calling for $4 trillion in infrastructure spending. That wasn't the 70s. It wasn't the 80s. This ain't a Stranger Things thing. That was this year. Now it's 1.5. Kind of a big difference. Maybe he should explain that, but he's not going to. Anyway, it turns out, I did some research. He's not the only senator. There are other senators, and one of them had this to say. Mr. Bernie Sanders said, "The expansion of Medicare to cover dental, hearing, and vision is one of the most popular and important provisions in the entire reconciliation bill. It's what the American people want. It's not coming out." And I like to hear it. I like to hear it. It was a promise. It is necessary. It's very popular. We'll get to those numbers in a little bit. But remember, he could still threaten to vote down this entire thing, the reconciliation bill and the attached bipartisan bill. It is one of his priorities. He's been pushing for that for a long time. And this ain't Bernie Sanders' dream to just do expansion for dental, hearing, and vision. That's not what he wants, but he does know that we need that. And if that's what he can get, that's what he's gonna fight for. So Francesca, I'm glad to see that he's sticking to his guns.
I mean, it's interesting because, and I will admit this, that I don't think I knew that Medicare didn't include dental, vision, or hearing, right? I mean, these are things, your facilities when you're older are going to need a little tune-up. They're gonna need some help, you know. Dental is incredibly expensive when you get older, as is hearing and of course your eyesight. So it's just so heartbreaking to know that even the few programs that we do have that were hard fought for, that actually Republicans know that they can't take away from their voters, which is why they never talk about Medicare, right? They're just like, yeah, oh, the debt. We have to, you know, do something about the debt, and we're China, China, China. Meanwhile, I would love to privatize Medicare if I can, if I, you know, right, the Paul Ryan dream type stuff. So, but it's like it's so basic and it's so critical. And again, we talk about the vaccine is just a giant culture war distraction from what people actually need. And if there's anything that proved that we need these things, it's a goddamn pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. And imagine, like, such a good point. Like, we were talking about it being the distraction. Fox needs it. They need something to talk about, because think about what alternatively, if they were actually what they say they are, if Tucker Carlson was actually a right-wing populist,
yes,
what would they be doing every day? They'd be reporting honestly on these interminable, like, evolutions and devolutions and the negotiations. They'd be telling their base what's on the docket right now, what's potentially being taken off, who's threatening to take it off and why. And then think about what the right wing base, if they were actually presented with that information, would be thinking. Many of them desperately need the expansion of vision, dental, and hearing in Medicare. They're on Medicare. They need it. Some of them have had kids, would have loved to have had paid leave, are planning to have kids, would like to have it in the future. They're old. They want the elder care. They don't care about the climate change stuff so much, but these things they would very much want. And so if the right wing was seriously discussing this, what you would actually have is them, Tucker Carlson, inspiring his base to root for AOC and Bernie Sanders to defeat the corporate Dems, if they actually cared about delivering on the economic anxiety that their base has. And they can't have that, Francesca.
No, I mean, he would be for unions, but like also force segregation in unions if he was an actual right wing populist, right? Always continually blame people of color, blame immigrants, but they're like good on class stuff. So yeah, you're totally right. It's not what he is. And it also makes me frustrated because look, I get that the Build Back Better Act is so massive and that there are so many transformative pieces that are now being, you know, completely stripped for parts, but that you can't really sort of, it's difficult yeah. to sell it around one thing, but if there is one thing, you know, out in front that like a lot of older voters, a lot of more conservative voters, sadly, it's not even home care, which you would think would be something that they are for, because all, again, home care workers, often women, often people of color. And so it is Medicare. Just keep yeah. talking about like vision and dental. Have like an old grandma put on glasses for the first time. I can see. I can see that Joe Biden helped me to see. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can see. Like just do something corny like that. Like, that's how you have to sell this, because I swear I've spoken to Republicans who are like, well, it's the damn immigrants coming across the border and nah, nah, nah. Yeah. And I was like, do you know that Republicans in your state are trying to take away Medicare and like totally. throughout the country and your state? And they're like, oh, I don't like that. I hate that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like,
no, and you could, yeah. but you could make it right wing if you want to have the old woman. And she opens up a box. It's the hearing aid she needs. With my new hearing aid, I can hear creepy Joe Biden sneaking up behind me. Thanks for the hearing aid, but stay back, Joe. You can do that. make it for your audience. I'm not gonna make the ad for you. You can do whatever you want. But anyway, I'm glad that Bernie said like five people are fighting for us in the entire government. Thank God we at least have those. And that makes it even weirder that there are people on Twitter who supposedly are on the left and literally the only thing they do is attack the only people that are helping us.
With my
thing.
New teeth, I can anyway. Take a bite out of socialism. Arr.
We should make these ads. Okay, with that, we are like less than 10 minutes. So we're gonna do two more topics in 10 minutes. They said it couldn't be done. Some are saying, should you really do that? That seems too fast, but we're gonna do it anyway. Okay, let's jump into this video.
Well, first, I think it's important to point out on a scientific basis, most of those first responders have had COVID and have recovered. So they have strong protection. And so I think that influences their decision on a lot of this, that they have already had it and recovered. And so they're making no accommodations for that. They're still pretending like that doesn't even exist. And so that's really, really troubling when you see that. But I can tell you, Maria, in Florida, not only are we going to want to protect the law enforcement and all the jobs, we're actually actively working to recruit out of state law enforcement, because we do have needs in our police and our sheriff's departments. So in the next legislative session, I'm going to hopefully sign legislation that gives a $5,000 bonus to any out of state law enforcement that relocates in Florida. So NYPD, Minneapolis, Seattle, if you're not being treated well, we'll treat you better here. You can fill important needs for us and we'll compensate you as a result.
Okay, now your first instinct might be to say, Ron DeSantis is using taxpayer funds to pursue a presidential campaign. That's the only point of any of this, is just, hey, conservatives around the country, we love your bad cops and we don't care about COVID. That is one, technically that's a big part of it, I will admit that. But he also does need to deliver for Florida in the things that Florida needs. And what Florida needs is more cops who have been chosen specifically because they've proven that they don't care about public health and they won't follow the rules. And Florida's been desperately needing more of that. And he has found a way to bring them in from all around the country, Francesca.
Oh my God, just blew the conch shell on like every bad cop. Like, I want all the, he just blew through an actual bad apple. Like, you know, like, what? Oh my God. Just, he's so the worst. I'm very much looking forward to, you know, Cuban refugees going the other way at this point because of how bad Ron DeSantis is and has been for that state. I mean, it's really upsetting because I know there are good people in Florida. There are good lawmakers in Florida. The Democratic Party needs to do way better to combat some of this stuff. I mean, you know, in terms of actually reframing the debate to be about supporting things like Medicare for All on a statewide level, things like social programs, actual small businesses. Like, I'm just, I am like part, I'm there's that like coastal, lib in me that's like, I can't wait for Florida to break off into the Caribbean. And then there's the, you know, it's been the source of way too much, you know, evil, hanging chads and such. But I'm also like, it is such a battleground. And I hope that the people of Florida can get a handle on this and get a handle on him. I mean, the guy is untouchable, politically untouchable when it comes to COVID, no matter what he does.
He's literally importing more people who have proven that they don't care about COVID, and they will not stop unless they help spread it. And by the way, you know, we're gonna jump around just a little bit super fast. So first of all, he says we need to do this because we desperately need cops. They don't. Back in May, the Orlando Sentinel said that there's steady levels of staffing, like they're not having problems finding cops. Total lie. It's a total lie. It's just a political thing. By the way, in Florida, they've apparently had a quote devastating wave of police deaths due to COVID-19. 120 have died across the country. Florida has been more heavily disproportionately represented in that. And why wouldn't they? They have a leader who doesn't care about COVID, who advocates for the virus every time you give him a choice between something that will minimize death and something that will increase it. He is always going to choose the increase. Not because it really reflects anything about his ideology, except that he wants to be president and he knows what the base is like. And the base does not want to see you caring about COVID deaths. So he's not going to
Super fast. We need a BLM march in Florida, and it's going to be a coffin, no masks, all vax, but we cough all over police. Well, it'll be a coffin. And we'll see if that leads to anything. Just like, whose streets are streets, like that kind of thing.
Okay, I'm gonna read one or two comments while we get ready for, let's do the G block. I think we can do that relatively fast. We only have a few minutes, is that okay? Okay, I'm gonna read a comment. Let's see, Global Astro says, worst candy, the old toothpaste tube style Ghostbusters Slimer bubblegum. I don't even know what that is, but that sounds terrible. Although I did watch Ghostbusters 2 this last weekend and it was quite good. Let's see, Akamo gifted a tier one sub, thank you for that. April Fools hit 7 months. Let's see, E Wood hit 9, thank you. Okay, with that, let's jump into this video. We only have a few minutes.
Eight.
That is devastating video that I hope by now you've already seen. I hope that over the past few days, the past week or so, that that has been burned into everyone's memory. Chantel Arnold there being assaulted by a police officer. We want to give you an update on that story that we've talked about. I know on Indisputable they've been talking about it. And here's the update. You're going to be shocked to find out that the police officer that did that has had previous issues with excessive force. He's a 16-year veteran of the sheriff's office, Julio Alvarado, been named in the most excessive force suits out of any of the department's other current deputies. He is the most apparently prone to violence. Notice that they don't say the only one who's faced these sorts of things. He's just the worst. He's been named in 9 federal civil rights lawsuits, all involving the use of excessive force. 2 suits were settled, one of them involving the beating of a 14-year-old boy, and 2 are pending with the remaining dismissed. So back in 2016, the one with the boy, he grabbed this boy by the neck and slammed his head against the ground in concrete as the child was screaming, "Why are you doing this to me?" Alvarado then threatened to have the boy and his family deported. 2 years later, a lawsuit claimed that Alvarado and 3 deputies beat Atner Casco, a Honduran native, and stole more than $2,000 from him at a traffic stop, then conspired to have him deported. That suit was settled on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving last year for $50,000. He was demoted last year from sergeant to deputy. They didn't say why, but he was demoted, probably for one of these horrendous things that he did to the people that live in his area. And so that was the individual taking a woman by her hair, by her braids, literally ripping her braids out of her head and slamming her down. How could anyone have seen it coming with this guy? You just had to keep him on. And in this case, he did the same thing that he did to someone else. So is he responsible? Yes, he's responsible. His bosses that continued sending him out in the streets after he did it to the boy, also responsible. And when they keep him on after this, they should be held responsible for the next person that he goes and brutalizes, because that is obviously his MO. He's gonna keep doing as long as you allow him. And as you're pointing out, this department is perfectly fine with allowing that to continue happening. I mean, we'll have more in the future. I apologize, we are out of time. Thank you everyone for sticking with us with the tech problems that we had. We will be filming our top 10 list in just a little bit. Francesca, it's great to have you back. Thank you for being back with us.
Thank you.
Everyone check out the Twitchation room on Wednesday. We'll have more details for you, but we gotta run. Until next time, stay safe out there, stay sane out there, and we'll see you soon. Welcome back everyone to the top 10 list of the week for you, our dear subscribers. Thank you for supporting us and continue to watch these. We have a lot of fun making them every week. And this week is leading up to Halloween, so we decided we'd do one in that vein. I was gonna focus on candy that I like. Francesca wanted to throw a bit of salt in with the sugar. So we're gonna be doing the top 10 worst Halloween candy to get. And we weren't really explicit about this. For me, it was that I hated when I was young. I don't know if you did the same thing. Yes. So some of these candies might be a little bit old school, but
yeah,
this was the stuff I used to hate to have. By the way, were you a big trick or treater?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah?
Any standout costumes?
Well, one time I was a Cheerios box and I made it myself. A lot of people
see that.
When they make nice costumes, their parents always help them. I never had parents who had any time to help me on anything. So I made it myself. It was a little janky, but I was like walking through my neighborhood. And my shins kept kicking the front of the box. So I had to take it off and wear like the last year's costume, which was Madeline. Do you guys remember Madeline?
Oh, I vaguely. The kids that's movie, like, right?
Yeah. I feel like, yeah. It's like a little French orphan. Yeah. She's like awesome. Annie, but cooler, I think.
I've always thought that. anyway, yeah, Halloween's just the best. Like, it's one of those holidays that unfortunately kind of drops off. You can do costume parties, but unfortunately not with the pandemic.
I love costume. And just like adult Halloween is so fun. All like, dry ice, spiked cider, good stuff.
Just like as a kid showing up to school in your costume and like being all proud of it. Like the one year I was a werewolf and my mom like took old clothes and like cut holes and put fur so that it comes out of the little rips.
Oh,
and
you I was had like, one of those moms.
I'm in a movie. This is special effects.
That's cool. You had a present mom. Wow.
Sorry.
Maybe if we had more paid family leave.
Yeah,
to make Halloween costumes.
14 years of paid family leave. Anyway, but then you go out there and you get the candy, and it's great to have candy, but some not so good. So here are the worst. What's your number five?
Number five coming in, not a big deal, but I didn't like it. Charleston shoes aren't good.
What?
I'm sorry, they're too hard. They're always too hard. They always feel like they were from 3 years ago. They break your teeth and there's nothing. It's like too hard nougat. It's like the marshmallow, but way too hard. If you like let them sit in, you need to warm them up or something. But I don't like a Charleston chew.
I'm so mad at you right now.
And as a child, I think it might even be dark chocolate, which I love it. I like dark chocolate now, but as a child, dark chocolate was like death. So.
I think that Charleston Chew would have been on my top five list, I think.
No.
So yes, the second it's made, they take it out of the machine and it's mummified. I will grant you that, but it's so good. The chocolate is good. The way it pulls apart and stretches and it like marshmallow pull. Is so it, underrated. It pulls, I'll pull it.
It breaks, it's so it mostly good. Breaks. I've never had a good, maybe I've never had a good one. It snaps.
Oh my God. I love Charleston shoes. Okay. I cannot believe how awful you are. My number five is very different than a Charleston shoe. Mine is going to be, and maybe some people are predicting this, fruit. Get it out of here. What are you like? Don't. That's not what this is about. Shut up. I'll eat fruit later. This is Halloween. Give me an apple on a regular day and like maybe it's cool, but you know what you're doing. Don't try to ruin the holiday with apples or whatever. Mom's got apples. I can eat an apple. Yeah. I want a Snickers right now.
This is no just fruit. This is just the skin of an apple covering razor blades. We all know what's in this.
Yeah.
Don't so anyway, but I did get a pomegranate once and I was like, what kind of candy is this? And it was actually pretty cool. But there's always like it's usually like the sweet old Asian lady that lives down the street who's like got an amazing pomegranate tree. And so my mom was excited and
ooh, I should get rid of some of my excess lemons. Maybe I'll do that. Anyway, it's sweet. Trust me. It's like a sweet tart. Anyway. Okay, what's your number four?
Okay, number four, I feel like it's a slash. Like it's anything in this vein, but wax lips.
When it's not even candy, it's a toy.
It's not candy. It's just, yeah, it's a toy. And you like put it in, you're like, this is cool. And you try to eat it and it's awful.
But I don't think it's food.
It's wax.
So I don't think you're supposed to eat those.
But okay, so I think it comes in a bag with other wax things. There's this other thing that's like a bottle of sugar.
Those are good.
No.
Break it off and then you drink it. Those are good. What?
You're just drinking high fructose corn syrup. This is straight up. This is like,
what do you think I do all day long?
No, it's off. It's like this bottle, and the bottle's not edible. The bottle's wax. Just those bottles of sugar are like, I literally like, I know I'm eating nothing but sugar, but why do you have to like rub it in my face? Like, oh, these kids will just eat a bottle. Just put sugar in a bottle. Like, I don't like that.
That's pretty much what it is. Man, these candies do feel very old timey. Like the bottle of wax. Like, did you ever have, this isn't on my five, but did you ever have the candy cigarettes? I can't believe that those even existed.
Yeah, I don't feel like you could eat those either.
No, it was edible. It was edible.
Okay.
The box too. Anyway, my number four are basically those. It's, and I don't even know if they make these anymore, but it's Necco wafers. It's like, it's technically sugar, but it's not really sweet. It's super dry and like, I don't think that your dessert should be best described with the word chalky. Like it's chalk, basically. It's dusty and chalky. It's kind of interesting that they snap or whatever, but it's not good. Like I'll eat every single one of those because I have, even at that age, I had a developing problem with food, but I wasn't particularly enjoying it. Anyway, that's my number four.
I'll say nothing because.
Mm-hmm. What's your number three?
Number three, Smarties. I don't like them.
Smarties
are the, again, this is all old school. And again, you're like, who in the year 86, like how are you getting Smarties? It feels even too old timey for them, but they're like the long little, like, you know, pills of sugar again. And some of them were like, they were a little bit of different flavors. They tried to be, but you just, it's a waste of space. You got it in a big cheap bag and they're not yummy. They're not, I want to chew. I want a chocolate caramel for me. You've already won my heart. Mm-hmm. I'll you know, mow your lawn if there's caramel anywhere in this. Chocolate, obviously, that's a winner. Smarties are filler. They're like, it's they're totally like filler. Sad they're pinata. Cheap. Yeah, it's like sad pinata filler.
I kind of like those. It is a lot of work for what it is that you have to individually open it and then they fall all over the place, but they're okay. It's actually, it's kind of, those could almost be my number three. The Smarties are the one of this category that I kind of am okay with. I'm gonna say Pixie Sticks, but you can throw sweet tarts. You can throw anything tart. Tart is just the joy sucked out of sweet.
No.
It's like, tart, you could have been sweet.
I will defend sweet tarts to the death. And now they've got chew sweet tarts. I don't buy candy that anymore, but sometimes I'll like check in on what candy's been up to. And you're like, oh damn, candy's done some bangs. You know, like nerd ropes. What? You got like amazing nerds on amazing licorice. Like anyway, so, but I don't.
I'm gonna have to look into this nerd ropes thing. But yeah, like, Pixie Sticks, I would honestly just rather that I opened it up and it was just sugar. I would have enjoyed that more. Why did you add this tart nastiness to it? Sour Patch Kids, I can take okay, although watermelon is better because it's less tart. So anything tart, really, I'm not interested in. I'm here for sweet. But it's not spicy. It's like,
I know, but that's like the same. You didn't like the really spicy or like the, I would get lemon drops. Like,
I've almost never had those. Those are, yeah, that's kind of what you're talking
where
about.
Where you put them in your mouth. Like half the thing of candy was it like, burns. Can you take it? Can you take the tart?
The fireballs and,
like, yeah, the fireballs, if it's spicy or if it's tart, I love
it. Why are you punishing yourself for the candy?
My mouth is watering just thinking about lemon drops. Like,
yeah. I have that same experience with like Brussels sprouts. Can you take it?
Yeah. Oh my God. Now I like love Brussels sprouts. No. Okay, number two.
Number two. Yep.
Again, old school Tootsie Rolls. I appreciate that it's chocolate. What? I appreciate that I like the gesture. Sometimes they're the long ones, which I don't think chew is good. But usually it's the little squat Tootsie Rolls. I was gonna say another word, but I won't.
Don't say it.
And they're just little chody Tootsie Rolls. And you're like, I don't want this. I don't want, this is not yummy enough. It's like less than a fudgesicle. Like I'll eat a fudgesicle. They're yummy because they're like chocolate popsicles, but it's like a Tootsie Roll. I don't know. It's a little too waxy for me. It's a filler as I'm like digging for the next thing.
You just reminded me, and I have not thought of this in probably like 15 years. My grandfather used to have fudgesicles. Every time I was there.
Yeah, fudgesicles are good. I will defend fudgesicles.
It's so crazy. It's like, if you looked at a chart of my life year by year of fudgesicles, just all of a sudden, no fudgesicles ever. Maybe they haven't even been available for 10 years.
No, I haven't bought any. I used to be, oh my God, I used to eat them.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get some of those. But anyway, I like Tootsie Rolls. I think Tootsie Rolls are good. I think that the small ones are good, but I think the big ones are even bigger. Because a big part of candy for me, and this gets into the developing problem with food, is being overwhelmed. And so the bigger one overwhelms you more. It's not the best food. It really just does seem like this is what we had, and then they figured out how to make chocolate. Like this was like a path, like a step on the path to chocolate.
No,
but I like it. I like it.
Here's the thing though, those bags of like Snickers, Milky Way, and Butterfingers, those are expensive. You know, those will be like $8. Whereas like the bag of Smarties and Tootsie Rolls will be like $4. You know, so that's the house you skip. You know what I'm saying?
They still make fudgesicles. I'm gonna have fudgesicles today. So thank you for that. yes, I like them though. Look, my number two is kind of almost like the fruit thing. It's a double bubble, any kind of gum. Even Bazooka Joe. I liked the cartoons a little bit when I was a kid. I don't know why. But gum isn't candy. Gum is gum. It's a separate thing. They have never developed a food that loses its flavor faster than Bazooka Joe and Double Bubble. Like it's like just dusted on the top. So you lick it, it's just wax. That's all it is. Candy, like I want to eat the candy. I don't want to chew on it. I'm not trying to candy edge or something like that. What is this?
Candy anyway. Edge. I love how this is. Cause like, you know, I used to eat that stick of bald gum that came in the back of baseball cards. My brother would get the baseball cards. I would eat that. Oh, it was so bad.
It was hard.
You couldn't tell the difference. You might as well be chewing on a baseball card. It was so hard. It was just bald stick of gum. Very weird move. Like such a what? Why are we doing that? I totally agree with you about gum. Completely different category of it's not.
But again, it's a filler. You can get a bag for like 15 cents. It's a billion of them.
Yes. Yeah.
So what did you choose as number one?
Number one, we'll have to agree. Necco wafers are.
Oh.
They're the discs of the devil, okay? They have no place in any, I don't even know what they are. I don't think they belong, if you could write on a chalkboard with them, like they would serve a purpose. They don't, they are just awful. They were put on earth to like, someone invented Necco wafers and be like, here's how you get kids off candy. Make candy disgusting. They'll never ask for it. And yet they somehow make, it's like and they're medicine. Like, again, you're like, who has been stocking Necco wafers? Like what 99-cent store? I don't even know where you get them, but they appear.
I don't know how
these are candies that just appear.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I feel like candy's gotten better these days. So again,
they used to have those like, it's not Red Hot dollars. There was another type of dollar That candy goes away, but for some reason Necco wafer is still being made. Who wants it? No one. Like, if you did white elephant with Necco wafers as one of the things, you could do the whole world and nobody would ever choose it.
Yes.
But anyway, my number one is going to be similar. I don't know how this is still made. It was old timey when I was a kid. Now it's like a throwback, like Indiana Jones found it in a tomb. Bit O' Honey. Ooh. Have you had a Bit O' Honey? It's
no.
Honey flavored taffy. Honey flavored. My advice to Bit O' Honey would be use more honey, because that doesn't taste good. You could, like, why are you holding back?
You've been around for decades.
Know,
Bit
apparently
O' Honey.
Profitable. It's just this, it doesn't look good. The package looks like it's from the 20s, which I guess it was originally. It just doesn't taste like anything. It's not honey. It doesn't taste like honey at all. It tastes like, I don't know, it tastes like something that came out of an animal. Honestly, it's what it tastes like. It's just not good. It's not good.
It is bad. Like, here's what I'll say about old timey candy. Werther's crushes.
Yes,
like Werther's,
those are good.
Is delicious. I don't care. You can make fun of old grandmas for having Werther's out. No, they're hella good. Bit of honey is not is bad. No. I love. See, I actually love some old hard candies, like those little strawberry ones with like the green
crunch,
sort of wrappy. Yeah.
There's liquid in it.
Yeah.
I had forgotten those exist.
Those
they're so
super good.
Good.
Yeah.
They're so good.
So not all old timey candy is bad. Just the Halloween one.
I do want to mention a few things that people have mentioned as being bad, and I don't agree. So first of all, candy corn, it's great. What are you talking about? It's so
notice
good.
Notice how neither of us said candy corn, because candy corn is delicious. And you know my favorite are the pumpkin ones.
There's the pumpkins?
More. Yeah, it's the same thing, and just more. I love candy corn.
It overwhelms you. That's what I'm about. I'm about being overwhelmed. Okay. So I don't have a problem with candy corn. It's good. I think circus peanuts are pretty good. And a lot of people don't like those. I don't know. It makes you feel like I'm at the circus, kind of.
Wait, so this is just peanut flavored marshmallow, right?
I don't even know if that's peanut flavored. It's just marshmallow. But again, like, so in the same way that Charleston Chew has a unique, nothing is like that in nature. Circus peanuts compress unlike any other thing ever made. I just find it interesting.
Okay, but how do you feel about Peeps? Because this might divide us.
I love Peeps. What's wrong with a Peep?
Recently, I was like, Peeps are fine. I don't know why everyone's, I hate Peeps. I was like, these are good. These are like I ate
too many.
I ate three and I was like, I hate this is foul out damn spot, you spirit of demons. I was very bad.
I kind of like them. I even did the thing where you put them on pizza one time when that was was going around. It was pretty good. And I will, of course, I like licorice. And if people ever gave out all sorts as a Halloween thing, I would love that too, but they never do.
Black
so anyway,
licorice is hella good. You like black licorice?
I do.
Me too. Love a good Dutch candy, black licorice.
Nice. Well, that's it. Thank you, everybody. Hope we gave you some guidance on what not to hand out on Halloween. Keep those Necco wafers for the trash or whatever. You don't need to give those kids. They're just going to throw them away. They'd rather have an apple, honestly. But anyway, thank you, everybody, for being a member, making this available. If you have ideas for a top 10 list, you can post it down below. Until next time, thank you for being here. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.